Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everybody. I've had an absolute blast recording your championship intros on audio and also on video. And for those of you that didn't know, the videos can be done special exactly the way you like them, because these are green screens and we can do them with a scene behind me. Do you want a fighting scene? Do you want a beach scene? Do you want a race car scene? Any scene you want, we can give it to you. It's your theme and my pleasure. Just write our offices and we will answer you with the exact fee involved and how it'll get done. So here we are, and now it's time, and it's your choice. Cheers!
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but maybe you're afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. It's no holds barred radio, folks. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, politics, film, TV, UFC. We talk about it all. And I'm here today with my co-host, my producer, TJ DeSantis. TJ, how are you?
I'm good. It's episode 558, which is, I still think on the low side of things,
based on what
we've done all these years. But, you know, that's one thing. When you started It's Time Radio, there was never really an episode number associated with it. You didn't count back then, Buff.
Well, you didn't count back then because, quite frankly, we were one of the first podcasts ever to be released, right?
Yeah.
And, it, you know, with the thousands of podcasts now, I think you really do kind of have to count your shows.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
It's okay. We always step at each other once in a while, but it's like, this is actually show number one because this is the first show on Fight Pass, right?
It is. Well, we kind of had like a preview that went out on their YouTube, but this is the one that is like officially on Fight Pass proper. So cool. That's exciting.
Cool. You know? Very cool.
They're my good friends over there at UFC Fight Pass. That's pretty much who I do all my work for. So it just makes sense for everyone involved, I think, to get It's Time up there and anchor the podcast section.
Exactly. You know what? I'm really happy we're on Fight Pass because, A, I've been wanting to be on Fight Pass for a while. Let's face it, dedicated UFC fans are on Fight Pass. We have a lot of viewers all around the world that watch our show normally, but it's going to be a lot of fun to get out to those other diehard UFC fans. So
yeah,
hello, everybody. We're here.
And that's the thing, too. Like, we talk about UFC Fight Pass being, you know, for UFC fans, but it's really sort of the one-stop shop for any combat sports fan. Like, I'm calling a boxing match in Boston here in a couple weeks, which is live on UFC Fight Pass. So,
really? You're calling a boxing match?
Yeah, I've called a bunch of boxing matches, actually.
No, I know you do. I is this for a new promoter or the promoter you worked for before?
So it's the first time I've ever worked with them. They're called Hollywood Fight Night. It's Tom Loeffler.
He's my buddy.
Yeah.
A very good friend of mine. Yeah.
He's putting on a show in Boston, taking Hollywood Fight Night from Montebello out east to Boston, Mass. And it's going to be fun and exciting. We'll see what happens.
Well, do me a favor, please, because Tom Loeffler is actually historically one of the more popular managers in the sport of boxing because two of his biggest boxers were the Klitschko brothers.
Right.
And also the most devastating female boxer ever. As with all respect to all the devastating female boxers out there, but Lucia Riker.
Oh, 100%.
100%, right? So she handled her, actually handled a female friend of mine, boxer named Scotty for a while. He's an excellent, excellent man. Good people. Please tell Tom I said hi.
I will. Absolutely.
Michael and I have worked with him for years.
Yeah, he, you know, comes highly recommended to me to work with, and I'm very excited to work with them. Callum Walsh, who's an undefeated Irish boxer, is headlining this event. He's sponsored by Howlerhead. Dana's really, you know, high on this kid, and we'll see how he performs. 4-0, so very new in his fight career, but this is easily the biggest fight of his career. The night before St. Patrick's Day, you know he's going to want to put on a show and make his Irish fans pretty happy out there in Beantown.
Oh, Absolutely. Hey, when is St. Patrick's Day?
March 17th every year, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, it's one night that it's fun to go out, but I don't always go out on St. Patrick's Day.
I understand. I get it. I mean, it's a drinking holiday, right? Like, you want to make sure that you can enjoy and not have to worry about going anywhere, you know?
More like worry about a lot of people getting bombed and throwing down.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. You know, even if you're not the one that's drinking, just driving on some of those nights sober is, you know, concerning because people, they go hard.
It's a party, party night. Hey, I just got it. You know what? Well, as we're talking, mm-hmm. on my LinkedIn, a message came in from the heavyweight champion of the UFC, Ciryl Gane.
Uh-oh. Well, he's not the heavyweight champion right now.
Well, I mean, okay, that's right.
We'll find out in a week, I think. We'll find out,
exactly. Well, let's say former, however you want to put it.
Yeah, former interim.
Former interim. So he goes, congrats. Ciryl, I know it's a personal message. I got to share it because I'm happy to hear from you. I'll answer him in a second after the show. Congrats on your work anniversary. Because I just celebrated 27 years in the
That's
octagon.
Unbelievable. That's absolutely crazy.
27 years, TJ. 27 years.
You always talk about the evolution of me and my personality on this show. The evolution of yourself and your style to be able to, by the way, watch it all in UFC Fight Pass. You can go back and see when Bruce was, I don't ever want to say you were stiff because you were finding your feet. But compared to, you know, Puerto Rico back in the day to now, you're multiple different people at this point.
It's kind of like from this to this, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's just, it's amazing. And also the voice too. You know, I look back and at the first show I did when I did the prelims at UFC 8 in Bayamon, Puerto Rico. And I'm like, no. You know, it's like,
I mean, you're hitting the points, you know what I mean? Like you're driving the car for the first time. So you don't want to take the corners too fast yet, but,
right.
No, it's cool. Like even post UFC 100, to see how your style has evolved. Cause that's the thing too, Bruce, like everyone is trying to emulate you, but I still think that you're finding yourself and still changing and refining your style as you move through your career.
Well, you know, you should always be open. It's like in business, you should always be adaptable to new ideas. Don't be hard-headed in your own personal profession. As you, as a commentator, it's what we call reps in the business. The more reps you get, the more you develop your tool. And it's definitely what I call an evolutionary process.
It has to be, right? Because if you stop evolving, you're dying.
We should always be willing to evolve. Even at my age now, it's like willing to evolve, better yourself. And you know my attitude. Every night I walk in the octagon, it's always my first night. I got to prove to myself, powers that be, the fans especially, and the fighters, that I deserve this job.
Right.
And I go to work Saturday night in the octagon, and I'm going to be proving again that I deserve this job so I can go back to work next week at UFC 280. What is it? 285, 286. Oh my God.
285 is next week. And that's the thing too. Like the idea of having a contract and job security, like sure, there's legal ramifications and whatnot, but the bottom line is we're always trying to prove ourselves worthy of the position we're already in. You know what I mean? If you ever go out there and, you know, have this mindset that, you know, everything is owed to you, well, you're not giving what is owed to the job.
Never have that mindset. I've never had that mindset. I never will have that mindset. And it's almost like, I'll give you an example. It's like an actor, which is a scenario that happens a lot, whether it's Don Cheadle in Iron Man or Caruso, you know, with his TV shows. They think they're everything. And no offense to them, it's not like they do a great job and they're excellent actors. But you know what? Everybody's replaceable.
100%. Right?
Everybody's replaceable.
I mean, especially in the superhero side of things, like how many different Batman have we had? You know what I mean? I've never said that word before. Batman. I guess that's how you would say it, right? Multiple Batmans. Batman.
Well, yep, exactly. But, you know, and I said Don Cheadle, but Don Cheadle actually took over for Terrence Howard, who, you know, was very upset. Not upset. He wasn't happy with his pay.
Right.
He was making a ton of money. And they said, bye-bye. And then he
that's the thing, too.
Two Iron Men that would have made him millions and millions and millions of dollars.
You hope that if you move on from something that people will care and raise a stink, but far more often than not, I think we see how willing society is to accept someone. They might not do it right away, but when someone fills your shoes, it just takes a couple of times, couple of reps, as you said, before they start to not even remember you anymore.
Absolutely. And remember one thing, and I've said this before on the show many, many times, they love you on the way up. And they can't wait to tear you down.
100%.
I don't care who you are. It's just the finicky human nature of people out there. Not everybody. I'm just saying that it happens. But with that being said, I've got a couple of announcements that I want to make here. Product-wise, we all know about, you know, Puncher's Chance Bourbon.
Right.
It's come out. I don't even have my new undisputed bourbon now, the single barrel of Puncher's Chance, my award-winning, amazing sweet nectar of the bourbon gods.
Yeah.
We just released the new one called Undisputed. And it's 105 proof. It's a single barrel version. And BevMo just ordered like 1,000 cases for all its stores.
That's great.
So, and you can just go to puncherschancebourbon.com and have it delivered right to your house. But I highly recommend it. We've won 6 gold medals and we keep, we just won a platinum award for the new Undisputed. We won the highest award possible. Platinum.
That's great. Amazing.
I know. It's really cool to be behind a great product, that is reviewed and enjoyed by everybody. I haven't had any bad comments at all.
You know what's cool about it too, Bruce, is no disrespect. Like, obviously you're giving your likeness and your, you know, promotional push behind it is great. But despite that, it's still succeeding. That's what's really neat about it. It stands alone as well as a quality product.
Exactly. Just like I say at the end of the show, when you step on that yellow brick path to your future, be the best you can be, represent the best you can represent. Champion number one, number two, number three. If you do it the best and you try to be the best you can be, then you're winning. So I'm enjoying winning at the bourbon business. No question.
Keep winning.
I'm doing it the proper way, TJ.
You son of a bitch.
I got to say it. Connor's doing great with his, and I'm doing great with mine.
Connor's okay. Back, by the way. How crazy is that?
Let me go into one more thing because we're going to talk about that. I want to get your opinion on a couple of things here.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about Connor coming back. We've been talking about It's Time Cologne.
Oh, I saw you on the Impulsive show with Logan Paul.
Yeah, Logan Paul loved it. It's amazing the amount of orders that came in after being on the Logan Paul show. But right now, we're going to be in every store in the United States that sells cologne.
How heavy is that thing, by the way? Because that thing looks like it would do some damage.
I bet you could. But, you know, basically, it's 3 or 4 ounces right here.
Nice. Okay. So
3.4 ounces, so you can take it through the airport.
Oh, that's good. That's very smart. That's very smart. I was just going to say, before you invest, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check that bag. But if you can get it through the carry-on, there you go.
Let me just enjoy a little.
I mean, can you describe it for me?
Huh?
Can you describe the smell for me, the scent?
It's a very, we call it, it's very fresh, sensual, and charismatic. So what that means is it's not overbearing.
All right.
Women love it. It's a very sensual scent. I'm sure everybody out there listening has to understand what the word sensual means.
Right.
And charismatic because it's very individually distinguishable. Right.
Sounds like a guy I know.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point, right? I'm basically putting myself into this product. I wore Obsession by Calvin Klein for years, and I love this much, much more. And Obsession
really?
Is really fantastic.
So you're wearing this scent exclusively?
This is all I wear.
Wow. Nice.
And when the facial wash and body wash and moisturizer and everything else comes out, that's all I'll be bathing with. You know, I worked on these formulas, and these are all the formulas that I love to bathe and everything. And let's put it this way. Smell like a man, okay?
There you go.
Charismatic and fresh. Be like a man. But what I want to tell you about It's Time, for those watching, before it hits the stores, we've released it on Amazon.com and Walmart.com.
So wow. I mean, those are two huge outlets. I mean, that's very, very accessible now for anybody that wants to buy it.
Yeah, without any advertising, we sold a ton the first week it was released. It's going into 40 countries around the world, and it's in Europe now, and now it's in the United States, and I'm just very excited. So I've worked 2 years on. You know, I've been working on this for 2 years.
You've been teasing it forever. And that's the one thing that I've always admired about working with you is you never rush an announcement before it's ready to go.
No.
And
sell people out there that know business. I'm going to teach you something in business that it could take you failure to learn. I'm going to try and help you out. Never sell from an empty shelf. Don't talk about, don't promote.
Yeah.
Don't put your cards out there because you only have so many times to talk about your products until it's on the shelf and it can be delivered. Do not sell from an empty shelf.
Especially because if it comes to light that it never comes out and people have heard about it, then they're going to think that the product was a failure when in fact it never even launched.
It's like a boy who cried wolf situation.
Right. Right? Yeah. So, but help me out with the smell though. Like I understand the, phrases and terms that you're saying, but like, is it a wood-like smell? Is it a musk? Is it a ocean salty type of smell, like a
it's
sea salt?
Kind of a very subtle. I'm going to use the word sensual again.
Okay.
Vanilla, like a little vanilla.
I like that.
Yeah, and with the perfume or the cologne scent to it.
So it's a classic. You know,
it's got like a fruit type, vanilla type tone. That's why it's very pleasing to smell, and it stays on the body. It's like some colognes. First of all, you ever run into somebody, a man that walks in a room, and it's like, whoa.
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Especially people that wear a lot of cologne, like on their clothes, that doesn't really mix with their skin oils. Yeah, like your scent of your cologne is going to change throughout the day as you sweat and perspire and things like that. It's supposed to. When you just douse it on your clothes, I mean, hell, you might as well just wear a friggin' Christmas tree car deodorant scent thing. You know,
true, but also some colognes can change your natural body scent.
Right, and that's what
this
I'm saying.
Goes
like,
great with the natural body. You got to try it.
No, I'm excited because what you're kind of describing to me is a subtle traditional smell. Because a lot of times, I'll smell some cologne, and it's like, okay, you. I mean, pardon the sort of loose analogy here, but like, there's a fine wine, and then there's like Boone's Farm. You know what I mean? And like,
this is not Boone's Farm. That's all I can tell you.
That's what I'm saying. I want a fine wine. You know, I want something that's classic and not knocking your socks off. I don't want a blue raspberry flavor. You know what I mean?
No, what you have here is Dom Perignon and Cristal, but at a lower price. Okay.
Right. Not a Boone's Farm price, but a lower price.
Not a Boone's Farm price. And you know, what's cool is the bottle was designed by a design company in Dubai, right?
It looks great.
So they're going to make 10 solid gold plated bottles.
Get out of here. Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Of course, I'm going to get one of one.
Is it going to be like random, or is it going to be like you can buy these special?
No, this is special for something they're going to do as a special thing over in Dubai. You know, in Dubai, let's face it, there's gold buildings over there, okay?
Yeah.
They do it. They do it in a big way. So very excited about that. You'll hear about the toiletry line coming up. And also, too, it's hard for me to release this, but, I am the voice of Prime, Logan Paul's drink,
right?
Commercials.
Yep.
Not only is my energy drink, my It's Time energy drink coming out while we're on the subject of all the stuff I'm doing. Sorry, guys. It's my show. I can talk about what I want. The It's Time energy will be out in 5 weeks. I've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah.
There's reasons, but sided with it, I'm coming out with my own hydration drink.
Really?
Time hydration. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously people, know what a hydration drink is now. Like 3-4 years ago, I don't think that you would basically have to say Gatorade. You know what I mean? Like, things are different now. We're starting to understand. And like, that's one thing that I'm excited about this, just hearing about it now, is you don't just sort of run towards things. You do your due diligence. So I assume, just like the energy drink, the hydration drink is going to be something that is not terrible for you. You're not going to have to read a billion different chemicals and
No, I mean, there's certain things you have to put in, but no, I'm not into that. So we're trying to make the best. We are making the best products that'll be on the market. I don't want to compare them to other products. I could cut down other products left and right.
Sure.
It's not the way I work. Success breeds competition. Competition breeds success. There are certain market shares out there. Basically, I'm going with the quality and the high level quality of my products. I'm going after a 4% market share of an $8 billion industry.
That's unbelievable.
And that's where it's at.
So, nice. Well, I'm excited to follow along with the evolution of that.
We'll follow along as we move along.
There we go.
As the future comes in. All right. Well, listen, one thing we didn't talk about because we had the Australia show and there was a break. But, I built a lot, talked a lot about the Super Bowl, everything coming up. You know, when I was in Australia after the show, I want to talk about the Volkanovski.
Oh, yeah. What a great fight.
Yeah, the Mahashev fight and Volkanovski. Got to talk about that. So let's talk about Volkanovski. I said Super Bowl. Okay, here's Super Bowl. My Philadelphia Eagles lost, okay?
Yeah.
That was, I don't want to say devastating. This is just life. You know, you win.
I'm sure it hurt. It hurt.
It hurt. I mean, hurts hurt. So it's okay. Right. Not to coin a pun about the quarterback. But all respect to Philadelphia. Did a great job. You make it to the Super Bowl, you're a winner.
Yeah, I mean, you won the NFC. You're the NFC champions.
You make it into the octagon to fight for the championship. You're a winner.
The second best fighter at worst on that night.
At work in the world. At that moment in your life. You're a winner. Yep. So I'm in Australia. My plane's delayed. I'm in the airport. I can't watch the Super Bowl on the plane because there's no Wi-Fi on Qantas going from Australia to America.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, here it is. The Eagles. My Eagles are in the Super Bowl. All the buildup, all the talk I've done, all the stuff I've said on the podcast. I'm going to see 25 minutes.
Right.
They go, plane delayed. Normally, I'd be like,
no, but not this time,
I'm like,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's so cool. So I got to watch the first half. The Eagles shine. They were ahead by a touchdown, whatever it was, going in the second quarter. I get on the plane feeling great. Got a big payday if they win. Land, 2 hours later, of course, the pilot comes over the
thing, no.
You know, score of the Super Bowl. Oh, darn. Anyway, that was that. So congratulations, Kansas City Chiefs. Mahomes going to go down if he keeps up this pace as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. He's totally on line for that.
Yep.
Many years is going to take to get there, but the man's amazing. The team's amazing. Congratulations, Chiefs. Congratulations, Eagles. Onward and upward. Now let's talk about Volkanovski. I got to tell you that when I got to Australia, that I landed on a Thursday,
mm-hmm.
3 hours later off the plane, I'm with Michael Bisping, John Anik, Dominic Cruz.
Yeah.
Producer Zach, other guys.
He hit the ground running.
They hit the ground, boots on the ground running. We went to an animal sanctuary, and I put the pictures on my Instagram.
It looked cool. It looks so cool.
You can follow me, everybody, at Bruce Buffer UFC on Instagram, where I'll talk about the products coming out, everything, and all this stuff. But there's some very cool pictures there. You know, the koala bear was adorable. The wombat was like just this big, chubby, huge rat or whatever, but it was just so adorable.
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. You got to touch the koala, correct?
I hugged it. I held it.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought so. Like, who doesn't want to do that, by the way?
Yeah,
like,
but then
everybody
everybody wants to do that. But then I got a lot of tweets, right? And
like what?
Careful, you'll get chlamydia. You'll get
herpes. Get out of here.
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I don't suggest that anyone tries to touch koala in the wild.
Well, they do carry. They do carry, but you know,
sure.
I'm not rubbing it over my naked body, for God's sake. Yeah, I'm holding a koala bear.
I mean, you're COVID safe. I'm sure you're safe with a koala bear.
Koala safe too. Yeah.
You know, exactly. But isn't it true like they're high out of their minds all the time with the eucalyptus? Like, doesn't eucalyptus make them high?
Whatever it is, they look like they just got done smoking three fatties. That's all I can
say. I mean, they look like they're the happiest creatures on the planet.
They're happy, they're humble, but they can be mean, TJ.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. They like, you don't want to mess with them.
You don't want to piss them off.
Just like a kangaroo, they'll like disembowel you.
They've got talents.
Yeah.
I was feeling him poking through my shirt, and I thought, man, if this guy wanted to dig, he could tear my stomach open right now. Right?
Well, I'm happy he did it.
It's all good. It's all good. So we did the animal sanctuary, the kangaroos. It's so funny. As we're leaving the thing, Bisping pulls out his camera because two kangaroos are humping away. So he's got to make sure he films that for social media. And you know, they breed like crazy. Adorable. Saw one, you know, with the baby, the fresh baby coming out of its
own. Oh, yeah. The Joey. Yeah.
The Joey, exactly. And what I learned is that when they give birth, the little tiny baby crawls up into that pouch, and that's where it grows.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
100%. Right? Yep.
And of course, they eat kangaroo down there.
Yeah.
Time, and I felt guilty. I never want to eat it again. I didn't think it was all that great, but maybe it's just my mind.
I hate to say this. If you're around cows, you can feel the same way too. Cows are beautiful animals as well. They're not as cute as, say, a kangaroo.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's unfortunately the nature of the beast. We're carnivores. You know what I mean? So, we're omnivores technically, but, I might try it. You know, I might, if given the opportunity, I try it.
Got to try certain things. I'm going to segue for a second. I was with my new, I'm an ambassador for Rubet Gaming, rubet.com, mm-hmm. which is an international gaming site, really fantastic site. They're in Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, and Canada. So they came over to my home studio here, and we filmed a bunch of videos and pictures. And the other person that's their ambassador is Brandon Moreno, Charles Oliveira,
mm-hmm.
Chito Vera,
yeah, right?
Obviously Spanish speaking and Brazilian, and somebody I will be working on a campaign with in May. I'm excited about up the street at his compound from my home here, Snoop Dogg.
All right,
so that's going to be fun.
There
that's
you go.
Be a lot of fun. So we're filming, and we get done filming. They take me out to a restaurant called Boa. BOA, which is a well-known steakhouse in California, Vegas, mm-hmm. Yada yada. And I'm not a meat eater, okay? But you know, when I do,
you don't like
when
a steak?
Pardon me?
You don't like a good steak?
No, of course I do. But I have not I've not been a meat eater. Okay. I've been
vegetarian.
Oh, for years.
Really? I didn't know this.
I might occasionally have a hamburger that tastes amazing because I don't eat meat all the time.
So you don't eat like chicken?
Pardon me?
You don't eat chicken or anything
that
turkey?
I'm talking
red meat.
I eat chicken and fish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, chicken and
fish. So white meat, essentially.
So red meat I'm talking about.
You're right, got it.
And it's not that I don't like it, it's just my own personal health choice.
Well, I mean, there are benefits to cutting out red meat out of your diet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty well.
Like anything else that you go without for a long time, you know, whether it's food or sex or whatever, when you finally have it, it's so good, right?
Right. Yeah.
So then, you know, not to coin a pun or to coin a pun, but I was taken out last night and we're at this place, Bo, and they have the Wagyu beefs, you know, the Kobe beefs, right. All those special Japanese beefs, right?
Yeah.
$50 an ounce.
Oh, man.
And the people that I'm, you know, met and work with and I'm friends with now, great group of people from Rubet. He's like, I have to have this beef. You know, I had it before. And he ordered for me. He ordered me a 7-ounce steak, right?
Right.
Which is obviously $350. And it's mm-hmm. not about the money, but I'm trying to show you what it is. Well,
it's kind of about the money when it's that expensive.
Well, when you're not paying for it, it's good.
So exactly.
When I took a piece of my mouth, TJ, I didn't even have to eat it.
Right.
Or chew it.
It just melts like in your mouth.
On my tongue.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
That's when you know it's good.
God.
So you know, good. I'm not a huge meat eater myself, believe it or not, Buff. I don't really eat hamburgers. I don't, you know, but I love steak. And yeah, I am one of those guys that probably back in the day bothered everyone by ordering everything medium well. But a good steak, if you can get a good medium rare steak done the right way, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm a medium lover myself, pink on the inside. What's your favorite cut?
I really like a good sirloin, like a top shelf sirloin, honestly. That or New York strip.
Yeah, mine's ribeye.
Ribeye's good. It's marbled. I don't mind it.
Yeah, like a ribeye or like a good just a good solid New York steak. And of course, what's better than a great filet mignon, right?
I mean, that's really the best. Talking about, you know, which one you always want, but you know, more sensible cut, you know.
And the beef that I do eat once in a while, like when I order my breakfast or meals from Icon Meals, which go to iconmeals.com. They're a great place to order prepackaged, really good food. I'll get bison and egg whites with protein pancakes, and it just tastes delicious. So
yeah,
once in a while, you know, once in a while. But this week, we celebrated Rupert's 15th birthday on Monday at Arthur J's in Manhattan Beach, a steakhouse, and I had a wonderful filet there. God, Rupert's 6'3", and he's 15. Unbelievable.
He was an infant when we started the show. I'm not even kidding.
Henry's 6'4", and he's 18. Rupert's 6'3", and he's 15.
Okay, so do they both have college basketball scholarships or what?
Possible. You know, Henry's entertaining his college choices right now, but, you know, we'll see. I wish they would. They'd be great. But they're really into training, working out. I mean, they're in great shape. But getting back to this, so I did the steakhouse. This is the most meat I've eaten in years in 1 week. 2 steaks.
Wow.
I know that sounds crazy to some people, but for me, it's a big deal.
I mean... Well, like you said, he cut it out. So, you know, you're living it up right now.
Well, the segue to the steak talk is over because right now I want to get back to the excursion we had. So Bisping, Cruz, Anik, and other UFC personnel, we're all having a great time. And then when we ended the animal sanctuary, we got driven to a winery.
Mm-hmm.
So we toured this great winery. Of course, we get there. We're definitely 2 glasses in before the tour. Then we're on the tour. There's another glass. Then we get back. It's amazing 5-star price fix, meaning, you know, everything was set to order, came
right,
out.
Yeah.
5-star award-winning chef made it for us. It was so much fun. By the end of that meal with the wine that was pouring and everything, obviously we're all very happy. We're having a great time.
You seem to have it a little more together than maybe some of your contemporaries, at least on Instagram for some video purposes, it seems.
I don't let myself lose myself in public.
I'm not going to say that they were losing themselves, but you were able to perform a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody was very, very happy. But, you know, being with Michael Bisping, a few sheets to the wind, Dominic and John Anik, a couple sheets to the wind, all of us having a great time, feeling happy.
See, I can see all those guys getting a little chippy maybe, but, you know.
You see us on camera, folks, but behind the scenes, these are great human beings.
Right.
A lot of fun to be with. It was a blast. So that was my first day in Australia. Second day, the jet lag hit a little bit, you know, relaxed.
How could it not?
Yeah. Then the show came.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say that it reminded me of the fact of how amazingly wonderful and fan crazed and rabid UFC fans there are in Australia, obviously coming in from New Zealand and elsewhere, but they just love their UFC. They love the fighters, the energy in that arena, 12,500 people sounded like 30,000 or more. Definitely.
I actually had to look it up, Bruce, because it sounded like a stadium show. I'm not kidding
you. It was like a stadium show from the moment I walked out to the moment I finished the show. I mean, the energy that I could feed off that crowd really got me going. I even, you know how I'll say live from the sold out arena, sold out RAC arena in Perth, Australia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hell, I normally hold it for like a seven count.
Yeah.
They put a couple extra, two or three extra seconds on it just to draw the audience. They went ballistic.
Yeah.
And they held it with, this is the funny thing, you know, because they're talking with me as I'm saying stuff now.
Right.
And I put a little more juice on the It's Time. And I don't hear the crowd normally, but the reason I did that, I could hear them. I'm so focused on the fighter, I block it out. And when I can hear them, then I know they're going out of their minds. For the fighters.
You have your IFB in the earpiece. Do you get yourself in that ear?
No, purposely I don't want that. I don't want my intonation and my inflection to be interfered with it coming in.
Sure.
That happens at certain events I'll do if I have an IFB, like, you know, the Raiders or a baseball game or something. But there, what they do at the UFC, they're such a good well-oiled machine. All the other IFBs, they're hearing everything. Me, all I have is me to the producer and director.
Oh, so you don't have a program feed then? You don't hear Anik? You don't hear anybody?
No.
Wow.
Not at all.
I've noticed every time I do something on a mic, I prefer the IFB in because there's a slight delay almost always on in-house mics. And for whatever reason, Bruce, like when I speak and I can hear the speaker in the background, if there's a slight delay, I start sounding like I'm having a stroke.
Well, that's what it is like a big stadium. Like when I did the Dodger game as an example, it's like, hey, low, yeah.
My brain can't figure that out.
Got to get used to it. What I like is when I'm in the octagon or in a ring or anywhere I'm working.
Yeah.
When they've got this, I can hear the sound coming down above me.
Right.
And I can hear it, you know, in me when I'm talking. That allows me to have a better intonation and inflection. Right.
You know where you are, essentially.
I know where I'm at exactly, and I can change it at any moment.
Yeah.
I think listening to watches might have a hard time understanding this because they haven't done our job, but I hope we're explaining it so they understand.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, I'm wearing headphones now. I can hear myself now. I've done this for 20-some-odd years, and I'm just so used to hearing it real-time. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if there's a delay, it's real bad.
Just got to get past it. It takes a couple reps to get it down.
Yeah, generally I have an IFB in, but if I don't, I'll actually like hold a finger up to my ear so I can hear myself more than I can hear the speaker. People don't want to hear about this, but you know, it's fun for me to talk to someone like you who's done this for so long to know that you know exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, I totally know what you're saying. So let's get back to talking about what people know what we're talking about.
Yes.
The UFC 284, okay? Mm. Yair Rodriguez, congratulations.
Congratulate.
Yeah. Well-deserved. I'm so happy and so honored and humbled by this man because he's the epitome of a role model that I love in the UFC. A gentleman, in and out, fighter, flashy, the whole nine yards.
Yep.
Long road to get here. Long, long road for Yair. Congratulations. And congratulations to Josh Emmett. I mean, that is a warrior personified that really deserves every kudo he can get.
Right.
But Yair on top, you know, really, really cool. There was a lot of good fights. Tyson Pedro, who I consider a friend, I love watching him fight. And he came out after his fight. He had some health issues. He wasn't the same going into that fight, but he's still a warrior. You know, he went in there to do what he did, and sorry he lost. But Pekauskas, you know, did a good job. Kudos to him. A lot of people shined that night, but let's talk about Mahashev and Volkanovski. Now, you know, people were talking about Volkanovski. You've got to give this young man, this warrior, so much credit. Going up in weight to fight, you know, from...
Stylistically, this wasn't a good fight.
It's just amazing.
For him.
I give him so much credit. So much credit.
Stylistically, for Volkanovski, it was a bad fight. I mean, not that he couldn't win, and some people believe that he won. It was a very close fight.
Well, okay, I'm asking you, what do you think? Let's just be on the table right now.
I had a 4-1 for Islam.
You had what?
4-1.
I was on the fence. I was like 3-2 for Volkanovski.
I mean, I'm not upset with that scorecard.
I wouldn't have been upset
either.
Announcing it either way.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the interesting thing. Like a lot of people get sort of focused on the fact that I can say I thought Islam won 4-1, and make it seem like it was a one-sided match. It wasn't. It just, that's what I came down on. But it was one of those fights where I wasn't too upset or thinking that people were crazy if they thought that Volkanovski did, in fact, win. But, you know, it would have been interesting if it was a 7-round fight. And obviously, I don't think that we're going to get that anytime soon. But you started to see the the, you know, momentum sort of switch towards Volkanovski in the latter part of the fight, the way he finished the fight, getting on top. It was a lot of fun.
I'm going to create a term here. Tell me if you agree with it. It was a dominating loss.
Yeah. I mean, you can say that.
It was a dominating loss.
Because he had moments where he was dominant, for sure, and ultimately didn't get his hand raised. But, you know, no one is really going to be able to compete like that against Islam. Obviously, he has a lot of work yet to do at 55. It's a very good division. This was a super fight sort of situation. A guy that hadn't fought in the UFC's lightweight division comes up. But Volkanovski is a guy who's going to beat a lot of people in that top 10 at 155 if he chooses to continue to fight there as well. And I wouldn't be upset if they run this back, you know, in a year or, you know, even less than that. I don't want the 45-pound division to be put on the back burner too much. I mean, have a champion.
Too strong a division.
And Yair and Volkanovski would be a phenomenal fight. If that is what's next. But I also wouldn't be upset if we got Alex and Islam again.
Volkanovski to me is like the Joe Frazier of the UFC, you know?
Yeah.
He gets in there. He has to fight bigger men all the time. I really like Alexander. I think he's a cool cat.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Islam is always respectful to me. So I have nothing bad to say about Islam. But anyway, Islam's champion.
Yeah, on the Makhachev tip for just a brief moment, he's not there yet by any means. I'm not saying this, so don't, you know, misconstrue what I'm saying, but he has all the materials to be as good and better than Khabib was at 55.
Yes, he does.
I mean, we'll see if he does it.
What you're saying, and it's not even an argument that could be had. I understand what you're saying, and it's the type of thing that the proof will be in the pudding.
Yeah, because Islam is already a better striker than Khabib was. I like his wrestling. I like the way he blends everything. And again, Khabib was able to get it done on fight night. And that is the X factor here for all the greats. You can be the best fighter on the planet in the room or, you know, all training camp. But on fight night, if you can't perform, then people just don't know who you really are. There are plenty of fighters that have risen to, you know, championship status that in the room, they were terrible. Like Quentin Jackson, Rampage, was not a very good sparring type fighter. But you put him in the fight, he'll beat anybody. He's just that good.
Well, Quentin's not a big lover of training, so
no, of course not. Of course not. But
I love you, Quentin. I love you, buddy.
But there was a switch that would get flipped, you know, with him on fight night, where it would just be he would become this different, you know, person altogether. And you know, Islam has again a lot to do yet to prove that he's as good, if not better, than Khabib. But you know, we'll see if he can do it.
And there's two people that are going to benefit by that: Islam and us as fans.
100%.
Because we get to see this evolutionary process again of another fighter. There's going to be around a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great to see. So let's switch gears here a little bit. And let's talk about fighters that's been around a long time. Two fighters. One named Conor McGregor, the one, the only, the notorious.
Right.
And the other, the great wrestler, fantastic MMA fighter, great guy and friend, Michael Chandler. Now, I have not. And I'm not saying there's any bad about Tough. Tough is a great show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm busy and, you know, doing what I do. And
sure.
And sometimes, you know, when I get out of the MMA world, I got to get into my other worlds, whether it's TV, entertainment, whatever. I have not watched Tough series for probably 3 or 4 years.
Well, it was paused for a while.
But even the last 3 or 4 seasons, I wasn't a regular watcher.
Sure, I understand that. Yeah.
I'd watch at points. And, of course, when I got to announce the final fight night, of course, I look very much forward to that. I am going to be absolutely glued to this Tough series coming up.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see how those two personalities work with one another because, you know, Connor's a businessman. He's smart. He's going to, you know, be,
he's going to pull chains and press buttons all night long.
100%. He's going to get the job done, but you know, he's going to be, you know, poking at Chandler. And Chandler's a guy that's a real, you know, strong mindset type of person. Chandler's a guy who likes to, you know, stay in his lane and make sure that he stays focused on the prize, you know, his saying,
cool,
we'll
cat.
See you at the top. Yeah.
Cool.
Do you think Conor can break through that a little bit? You think he can rattle Chandler?
I think he's
going to
try. I think he might get, I don't see Conor getting rattled, although him, if he doesn't rattle him, it will rattle Conor a little bit.
I can see that.
Let's see if Conor keeps his, at this level of Conor's career, this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
At this level of Conor's career, his persona, his ability to rattle people, his ability to get underneath the skin of people the way Conor loves to get under, I think he's learned his lesson from the past Poirier instance at the last fight of not stepping over and shaming a family or saying things you should not say.
But look how rattled he was, though, because Poirier wasn't playing that game. And that, it seemed like this is my point. Yeah.
This is my point. So he's going to go into a different form, a more intelligent, thought out, how do I rattle Michael Chandler? The question is, when Michael Chandler doesn't get rattled, is Conor going to step back to another direction, you know, or is he going to continue, or is it going to really bug him? We're going to see.
We're going to find out.
Conor's a very cool cat on his own, but he's he can be very emotional.
100%.
So we'll see what happens.
And I think emotion is going to be a big factor to their eventual meeting.
Absolutely. It's just really awesome. You know, when you think about, again, evolutionary process, Conor McGregor, 150 euros a month in Irish welfare, wearing his dad's suit. To the point where I used to see him and I'd show a David August suit that I was wearing and say, you got to get a nice suit, Conor. Here's one. You should be getting David. And then he winds up becoming David August's partner in his own clothing line. He goes on to make millions, tens of millions of dollars, not $100 million in the UFC. He goes on to making hundreds of millions of dollars in other projects with Proper 12 and everything that he's done. And now he's stepping back into the ultimate proving ground called the Octagon, but he's also stepping back to help young fighters go into the ultimate proving ground to prove themselves that they're worthy of being a UFC fighter, much less a mixed martial artist, period.
Right.
And with that being said, I love it. I think it's great. And I hope, I pray a little bit that Conor keeps his composure and maintains what I believe he could always have been, which is the greatest role model, one of the greatest role models in the history of sports. And I want to see him in a position he's in now with his money, his fame, and everything coming into this. I want to see Conor be exciting. I want to see him be the Conor McGregor. I don't want to see him be disrespectful. I want to see him be the good role model, which will sell the million, 2 million pay-per-views no matter what. You don't have to do it the other way. Just be Conor.
Do you think he's interested in that, though, Bruce? Because like I get the vibe that he doesn't want to be everybody's hero. He doesn't want to necessarily be a role model. He wants to be Conor McGregor.
He wants to walk to his own tune. But with greatness comes great responsibility. Okay? And you know how I feel about that. And I'm just hoping that that shines through.
I agree.
I think he has the ability, and I think he could just have such a mark on young people's minds. This is a TV series for 8-10 shows, whatever it is.
I mean, he has it either way, whether or not he embraces it from a positive standpoint.
He could reestablish himself. He could reestablish himself. He's great now, but he could reestablish himself even better. And that's where just, if you understand what I'm trying to say to our amazing, wonderful listeners that I love so much, it's like, this is a proving ground in many ways for Conor.
Right.
As well as the young fighters coming in. As well as Michael Chandler.
I mean, Conor's going to impact those athletes, the future athletes that are watching at home and just, you know, fans as a whole.
Yeah.
The question is, will that impact be for, you know, the better or for the worse? We'll find out. I do like this matchup stylistically, though, for Conor a lot. I think Conor favors a Michael Chandler who might chase him a little bit on the feet and try to slug it out with him. I think that that benefits Conor.
It completely benefits Conor because let's face it, what is it about Michael Chandler that happens all the time? His first rounds of his fights are devastatingly epic.
Right. And they Conor don't, I mean, I hate him, to say this, but they don't need to be. Chandler's such a good wrestler I know. And God bless him for it because I love watching him fight.
And if he comes out like that, the way he does, he's stepping into Conor's world.
Right. Which, I mean, we saw what Chad Mendes did to Conor McGregor until he gassed out. Like, that's the way you want to attack Conor. But everybody wants to put on a show when they step in that octagon.
And people say if Chad's cardio was much better that night, he probably would have won.
I mean, I've said that before. I'd probably say that again.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is the beauty of our sport, the beauty of the UFC. We have so much entertainment coming in. So I'm glued to the show. Can't wait to watch it. Definitely wish Conor and Michael Chandler the best. Now, as far as when they're filming now.
Yeah.
Okay. So when does the show go on? When do they start
showing
it?
I think it's May. I think it's early May, late April, early May. So it's a pretty quick turnaround in the grand scheme of things.
Basically after they've gotten a couple of shows in the can, right?
Yeah. So I think the season will be done in its entirety before episode one will air, but it's going to be a very quick turnaround from when they wrap filming to the show's premiere.
Well, he's obviously done filming Roadhouse because he can dedicate his time.
Yeah.
There's some filming of Roadhouse yet to be done, which I cannot talk about right now.
Okay.
You can figure it out. I'll tell you.
Gotcha.
I do have a part in Roadhouse.
I gathered that.
So that's what I'm going to say. So that is yet to be filmed, but it's going to be interesting when it's filmed, and you will know when it's filmed, and I will not give you any more information, and we'll leave.
Have you ever played a role that wasn't Bruce Buffer?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh. One time I played, more than once, but in one particular, it was years and years ago. It was called L.A. Riot Spectacular.
Okay.
And it was a documentary on the L.A. riots that happened. Right. And they reenacted the Denny scene, the truck driver that got beat to a pulp.
Yeah.
Right. It was a sort of a comedic side. Snoop Dogg was in it. Michael Buffer was in it. Others. And I actually came out as a referee between Denny and the gang members.
You'd look good as a ref.
Yeah. So I did that bit there. I was in, I was talking about this earlier today with my trainer, Tito, Million Dollar Baby.
Okay.
The Academy Award winning Best Picture of the Year, Clint Eastwood's movie. I auditioned for that as a voiceover, as the commentator in the final scene where she broke her neck.
Okay.
And Clint Eastwood picked me over everybody to be in this film, so I can say I was a voiceover in that film.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I've seen that. I didn't recognize. I got to go back and watch.
You know, it was acting. I was doing a commentator's voice. I wasn't. Bruce Buffer's not a commentator. I'm not.
No, I hear you, but still, like, I
just talk about myself in the third person. Am I Tito Ortiz? No, I'm kidding.
You're fine. You're fine. Your head's not that big, Buff.
Sorry, Tito. Love you too, buddy. Sorry. But anyway, yeah, that was one. And then there's been a. I'd have to go through my thing. I've been in like 13 movies and TV shows and stuff. But for the most part, it's me being me.
Yeah. Know? No, I hear you. I hear you. So. But you got some flexibility. You got some range, as they call it in the business.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been talking to a couple of people. I mean, if they've asked me, you know, it's all about time, TJ. It's time to go do this stuff.
I know it's about time.
I would love to play a bad guy. I'd love to play a bad guy. I'd love to play a gangster. You know, I would have a lot of fun. I studied acting as a kid. I wanted to be an actor as a kid. I gave it all up when I was 18 years old.
I've said this before. What I really want to see you do before your career is over is I would like to see you be some sort of game show host. I think you'd be phenomenal. Serving as a referee in like a Family Feud type game or something like that. Like, I think that would be amazing.
I've always wanted to be a game show host. It's on my bucket list. It's not that it's not going to happen. That is something maybe later on in my career. The beauty I love about game show hosting is that, sure, the shows are on every day, but you know, you over a 2-week period, you film like 5 shows a day and you're done.
Right. And then you just sit back and collect those residuals forever.
And they're nice residuals. So
yeah, 100%.
Anyway, we'll see how that happens. I actually have a game show treatment that I'm working on getting off the
ground. Nice. I like it.
Anyway, always something. Let's go into some news. Let's get out of the UFC. Let's go into some news here. R. Kelly today was finally, after all this stuff going on, they sentenced him to 20 years in prison.
You knew this was coming when he was convicted. Was it over a year ago at this point? It's been a while.
I lose track of time these days.
But I mean, that's the thing, though, too. Like, this story has sort of had so many ebbs and flows over, what, like 20 years at this point. It's finally done, it sounds like. So
it's done. He's done. You know what? You play, you pay. Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
Another asshole. Basically, Harvey Weinstein, deservingly so. I mean, he was already sentenced in New York.
Right.
But now it came down in Los Angeles. He's been sentenced to 16 years. He's already serving a 23-year prison sentence.
He's going to be in jail the rest of his life.
He's dying in prison.
Yeah.
He's done. I have no sympathy for this man.
No.
Okay.
I mean, we've heard some stories from people that we don't need to talk about by name that are, you know, close to you about what has sort
everything
of gone down.
Everything you've read is true about this man.
That's
everything
rough.
You've read. He's a horrible human being.
Yeah.
With that being said, you got the 20 years he's serving in New York, and now he's serving 16 years in Los Angeles.
So is he going to be extradited? Is that how that works? They're not consecutive, right? Or are they served at the same time? Do you know?
You know, I'm not familiar with how that works. I mean, he's obviously serving the New York sentence now, but he's 70 years old.
I understand. I mean, it's not. Yeah. And that's not a great, you know, prison system.
He's not the most, he's a very compromised health wise individual.
Right. Yeah.
From things that have come out.
Yeah.
So I'm looking here to see. Whatever, they're just
talking. Mean, bottom line, we're talking about 20 years. He can be 90 years old when he gets out. Like,
you know, it's horrible. You read the testimony of these women that were assaulted by him, and it just breaks my heart.
Yeah. It's disgusting what he did.
Another horrific thing. Did you see the video that was released of the 70-year-old or so woman that was walking along the riverside or whatever in Florida, and you see this alligator, this huge, he's walking her tiny dog, and she's 85 years old, excuse me, in Florida. And she's walking along the bank of the river, and you see, like out of a movie, TJ, you see the bubbling surface of the gator coming up.
Oh, no.
Grabbed her, brought her underneath, killed her.
No. Now,
you know, this is not an uncommon occurrence in Florida. But it was like, when you see it on video, it's like, oh, my God.
It's terrible.
Huge gator, 11-foot gator that actually was a gator in the neighborhood that people named because it was like a regular gator. And now it came out and that was
so
it.
did they destroy the gator?
They euthanized the gator.
Yeah.
The 911 call, if you go into the news story, you hear this woman giving, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. She's gone. She's gone. Grab the dog. She fell down. It took her. You know, and the dispatch is like, is she alive? Yeah, she's alive. But he pulled her in. She's gone.
So do alligators like actively want to eat humans?
Cannot answer that. But there's a number of gator attacks in Florida every year.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, I think in my head, is that they kind of sneak up on the gator by, you know, accident. They don't know the gator's there. It's not something like, but this sounds like this alligator was straight up like stalking.
This was premeditated. This alligator, this alligator went in for the kill.
So then this alligator must have wanted to like eat her. Because I mean, as far as I know,
it probably went after the dog first.
Sure.
And then in turn got the
right. Woman. Yeah. Because I mean,
which is what the video looks like.
The way that those animals sort of operate is meat is meat to them, you know.
I know, but these people live in a house right on the bank of this river or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I mean, it'd take a lot for me to move to a place like Florida with alligators. I don't think I'm signing up for that.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Florida's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything
Florida's
about
beautiful.
That. I just
each his own. Our buddy John Anik lives there. He loves it.
Right. You know, I just don't want to go to the grocery store and end up being lunch myself. You know.
Stallone moved down there. I just had Puncher's Chance sent to Sylvester and his brother Frank.
Oh, wow.
And Stallone's living in Florida too.
I mean, for some people it's great, you know, but just for me, I don't think so.
Less taxes. Okay. You know the $2 billion Powerball winner?
Well, I mean, no, not
well,
personally.
I know him, but you know that the man won, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Outright by himself.
Okay. Well, now a man is suing the California lottery and suing him, claiming that the guy that won the $2 billion stole the ticket from him.
How do you prove that?
I don't know.
I mean, because, like, don't they say, like, sign the back of your ticket immediately? Like, once it's signed, it's yours, right? Yeah. Like, there's no, you know, disproving that. I don't know.
It's great. He said the man, this guy, Reggie, who, whatever, stole the ticket from him the very same day he bought it. How do you? And then he tried to get Reggie to return the ticket. I mean, prove it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. No, something doesn't fly here.
And
I'm
also,
sorry
too,
if it happened.
Like, I guess that's my question. Did this person think that it was rightfully his own ticket, or was it like a shared ticket? Because if it's a shared ticket and you're stealing it from somebody, like what, $2 billion or half of that, $1 billion plus?
Stole the ticket itself.
Yeah. Okay. So what, you told someone that you won and then they stole the ticket? Like, why would you do that?
I don't know. Well, the guy got $990 plus million. So no matter what lawsuit comes at him, he could care less. He could stay in court for the next six lifetimes and not even
give him $5 million and it's over with. Yeah, probably.
Listen, it's sunny right here. See how sunny it is?
Yeah.
Right now, we in an extremely rare event.
Yeah.
Los Angeles and Ventura counties, you know, around where I hear, we're under blizzard warnings right now.
It's a weird, weird thing. It was hailing at my house today.
Say again?
It was hailing at my house today.
Yeah, hailing. Right now, as the storms are coming in, it's going to get really bad tomorrow. I hope my plane takes off. I don't have any issues getting into Vegas. But aside from that, right across the country, it's been heavy. Your state of Minnesota has been getting hit.
Yeah,
like
18 inches. Friends and family told me they got last night.
Well, one source I heard told me that like Big Bear up here, which gets 50 inches a year, or one of the ski resorts, they're expecting that much just in the next 5 days.
I wonder if their infrastructure is even able to keep up with that.
I wouldn't plan a ski weekend this weekend. I'm telling you, you like snow, whatever. Yeah. Next weekend is going to be an unbelievable weekend to go skiing.
Yeah, you might not even be able to drive to Las Vegas with this storm system moving through. Yeah, probably.
I'm wondering
to get
if it hits hard next, because I'm flying JSX, you know, those mini private jet things. It's, by the way, a great service. I didn't even want to talk about it on the show because I don't want people flying it because I love it so much.
Right.
They've already raised their prices like 50%. So obviously they're getting popular. But, you know, you get there 30 minutes before, they take your bags, you get on the plane, you don't go through TSA. It's like it's a private jet.
Yeah.
And the prices are so reasonable. It's incredible.
Yeah, I got to look into that myself.
You got to when you fly out of LA to Vegas and stuff. But anyway, you know, with the rains really heavy, I'm thinking about making a backup res on Southwest later in the evening just in case, you know, something happens. You never
know. Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
I'm really expecting this to be a bad, bad, bad storm.
Yeah. I mean, it's just cold here, too. Like, don't cry for us, as you always say.
Don't cry for any of us in California,
right,
please.
We live in Southern California. But, I mean, it's gotten down to the 30s the last couple of nights in where I live. And it's just like, what? 30s?
I know.
What?
Hey, are you – oh, by the way, soccer's picking up in the USA. Las Vegas or San Diego now might get a major league soccer club.
Yeah, I love soccer. I fell in love with soccer during the pandemic through the video game. And
it's a great
actually,
sport.
Yeah, I actually went to the – what is it called? BMO Stadium now in L.A. to see the U.S. men's national team like a month ago.
BMO, where's that?
So it used to be the Bank of California Stadium. They changed the name of it. It's where the LAFC plays, right across the street from the Coliseum.
Got it.
It's phenomenal building, but yeah, I love soccer, Bruce. Like it's one of my favorite sports now.
Great sport. While we're on the subject of sports, we're on the subject of soccer. Do you go through you like football? Yes or no?
Yeah, I like college football.
Okay. Do you go through any kind of withdrawal when suddenly there's no football on the weekends?
So I watch again a lot of college football, and when the college football season ends, there is a bit of like what do I do now with myself? Yeah.
Like,
because
what am I going to do today?
Saturdays is college football day. I pay attention to the games in the studio here because almost every Saturday night there's UFC going on as well. So I don't feel it as much that way. But when I was watching baseball heavy, man, like baseball left a void in my life when October came and went.
Really? And see, I love baseball.
Yeah.
But I don't watch baseball.
I understand. I don't watch baseball much anymore either. You know, I'm a Twins fan, obviously, coming from Minnesota and living out here in Southern California. My team plays at 5 p.m. every day. I don't have any time at that time to sit down and watch a baseball game. So I've sort of fallen, you know, out of love with watching the game, but I still love it.
Great game, but you got to understand the game. Great game.
Yeah.
No question. Yellowstone. I'm just now on series 5, the 5th season.
I've never watched it. I haven't seen it.
So good. And I learned that the people that produced, wrote and did the whole Yellowstone series, they're also behind the Tulsa King, which I was raving about too.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's got a great knack. So I'm just putting out there for everybody, Yellowstone. If you haven't watched it, don't just start at season 5. Start from the season 1. Get into it. One of my favorite shows. I binged on it. I thought it was over season 4. Got home last night from my dinner, turn it on. Oh, season 5 is on now. So I guess the binge begins.
Again. There you go.
All good. All right, TJ, I'm going to finish up my fight cards for this weekend. Maybe we should touch on the lineup for this weekend for a second.
Yeah, let's hear it. Nikita Krylov is back, right?
Krylov's back against Ryan Spann.
Yeah.
Muniz against Brendan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Tatiana Suarez against Montana De La Rosa. That's going to be a good one.
Tatiana hasn't fought for a long time. And I, you know, when she first came on the scene and won the Ultimate Fighter, I thought she was going to be a UFC champion. She's not realized that goal yet. We'll see what she has in this fight, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a good solid lineup. So I'll see everybody from the Octagon Saturday night. And of course, I'll be back next week for the big, 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 big show.
It's big.
John Jones.
It's real
Cyril
big.
Gunn. Real quick. Come on, TJ.
Oh, I don't even know, Bruce. What can we even say for sure that we know about John Jones? We can't. We don't really know anything. Like,
we don't.
Think about this. He hasn't fought since COVID. Like, his last fight was pre-pandemic. And now in a new weight class against, you know, one of the best strikers in mixed martial arts. We'll see what happens.
Well, the only thing I can comment on before I see the fight in reality is that the toughest fight John Jones ever had in his career, one of the toughest, if not the toughest, was against Gustafsson. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Gustafsson is a kickboxer, and Gustafsson moves around the octagon.
Mm-hmm.
Cyril Gane is a kickboxer. Cyril Gane moves around the octagon.
Thiago Santos, who I mean is a good mix of, you know, he also gave Jones some issues.
But those kind of fighters, they give him a tough go, and we'll see how the 25, 30 pounds, whatever is a muscle that he's put on very carefully, very planned out.
Maybe it makes him better. That'd be terrifying if we saw a better John Jones.
We'll know in the first 2 minutes, right?
All right.
When those oblique kicks start flying, the takedowns start happening, is he going to come in and do a cartwheel when he enters the octagon? I mean, how is Jon Jones going to come
in? He might not fight that way. He might not throw oblique kicks. He might be, you know, a Curtis Blaydes type of fighter at heavyweight. We don't know.
We don't know. We'll see, but that's what makes it exciting.
I like Gon early or Jones late.
Fair. Fair. You got it.
I'll have a better pick for you next week when we do the show, but that's where my head's at right now.
All right. Sounds good. All right, TJ, let's sign off. What's up?
Check out Extra Rounds. Next week, we'll be on location at an MMA event in Las Vegas. That's all I'm going to say for right now. So if you're out and about next week for UFC 285, keep your eyes peeled. We'll be doing the show live in Las Vegas. Hopefully everyone can check us out there. And if they cannot, we'll be live Saturday night immediately following the UFC pay-per-view. But again, that's still a week away. But in the meantime, check out Extra Rounds wherever you get podcasts. You can download the audio version or just sign up and step into our world right now over at UFCFightPass.com.
Very cool. All right, everybody. For me, I'm here. You're there. Love you all. I'll see you Saturday from the Octagon. Thanks for listening to me constantly talk about my It's Time cologne and my products. But I just got to tell you, I talk about it because I love it.
There you go.
So good. So good. Hashtag Buff Life right here. It all starts.
There you go. You see,
Amazon.com, Walmart.com.
You just make things that you want yourself. Yep. It works out.
It takes a lot stock of work, of it. Though. It's of not, course. It sounds a lot easier. That's a lot
of course.
Easier
than it is. That's very simplifying it.
Very simplified for sure. All right, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. We'll be back with another exciting guest. I'll see you from the Octagon Saturday night. Big cheers. No fears forever. Everybody that's involved in the storms across this country, please stay safe. And much love to all, and happy to be on Fight Pass.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.